Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. This show is an invitation to let go of what's holding you down, laugh more, and love like crazy. If you've tuned in live to this episode, please call in now and be a part of the show. Our number is area code 646-200-0825. And now, flying solo for today is our hostess, Jen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. And today it's just with Jen. I'm Jen Halterman, your hostess for this episode, and this is a shortened 30-minute show. Usually the shows are about an hour long, and today it's 30 minutes. There's a lot of reasons for that, and it doesn't matter. It's what is. And so I welcome you today to this show because this is a very personal show. A lot of times the show is based on a topic, is based on a theme, there's a concept, and this one is personal to me. So it's a little bit different in the presentation. It is also part of why it's a 30-minute show, because I don't want this to be, I don't want to allow this to be expanded into a long, drawn-out thing. I want to be very concise about this. And the reason is living a conscious life, choosing to be conscious in your life, choosing to be accountable for your life and know that you are a co-creator with life is it's a choice that we can all make. And some of us choose it for a lifestyle. Some of us read the book. Some of us find that it's a nice idea. Some of us it doesn't resonate with, all of those types of things. But for those of us who choose it as a lifestyle, there is one aspect of this that I feel so passionate about that I feel that it's something I want to put on the airwaves, okay? It's not something I just want to say privately to my clients. It's not something I want to talk about with my friends. I want to say it on the airwaves. And so that is what this show is about. And I am talking about the tools and the skills that we learn in living consciously and how quickly and easily they can be manipulated, they can be turned into weapons, and they can be used to sabotage our lives and the lives of those that we love. And there's a lot of ways this can happen. This is not about blame. Instead, I want to bring to anybody's awareness, if you're going into a training, if you're going into a working with somebody intensely, if you're going into any kind of transformational work, it doesn't matter if it's a counselor or a therapist, you must be aware of what it is that I'm talking about today. Because sadly, just like when you go into a religion and you think this is the most amazing thing and then later you find out it's a cult, or maybe you go into a deep intensive workshop and you find out that it's structured in an abusive way, it can be used against you. And so I want to bring awareness to this, not as a place of blame, as a place of that is your job. It is up to you to be accountable for that and be aware of what it is that you are stepping into, okay? There are a lot of professions out there, you know, that people have really, that physical harm has happened, emotional wounds have happened, a lot of things that have happened. And instead of focusing on that organization being bad or that leader being, you know, destructive or whatever that is, I want to speak to the person who is enrolling, okay? So that's where my focus is. And anybody that works with me, I want you to listen to this also, because I want you to know this for yourself, for your own work, no matter who you're working with, okay? So when it comes to the skills that are on board for consciousness, they can really empower us. When you start being present in the moment, you start paying attention to what's going on, you start getting accountable for the what you've created in your life, and you start really recognizing when your ego comes in and is playing the game and takes the reins and takes over, and you start recognizing, oh my gosh, there's victim playing out, there's villain playing out, there's hero playing out. You start recognizing that you can use certain ways of communicating to be more accountable. you start recognizing all these things, they can feel as if they are setting you free. And they may be for you. They may be like, oh my gosh, I never realized I speak as a victim. That may be your awareness that comes through. Is I absolutely speak from the stance that everything is done to me. I have no power in my life. I want to change this and not do this. But then there comes a point when it can flip. And it can flip when, truly, honestly, it can flip when the ego takes hold of it. It can flip when, you know, we start thinking we're better than somebody because we know something somebody else doesn't. But it can flip. And what that looks like is now I'm going to be accountable and I'm going to tell you you're not accountable. And I'm going to tell you you are being a victim. And I'm going to tell you that you are the one to blame for this because you created it. And what that does when these skills and these tools are used as weapons, what it does is it furthers whatever the program is that you're experiencing. So I'm going to use a very specific example about this because I think it's the clearest way that I can speak about this so that you can relate, okay? So view this as a metaphor for it, but apply it to anything, okay? Apply it to whatever it applies to in your life. So let's talk about somebody who's been abused, okay? Let's talk about an environment of abuse as a child. What happens in that environment? The abusers are taking power to control, manipulate, and harm that child in some way, okay? Whatever way that is. They use power to make the child be submissive, okay? So I'm just going to use that example. Now let's move on. So that child is submissive. That child learns that they are, and they have no power, that others have more power than them. Perhaps their self-esteem suffers, their relationships suffer because they continually repeat the pattern of abuse. They get into relationships where they're abused. They get into dynamics at work where they're abused. They get into anywhere. If anybody has any inkling that if they act more powerful than this person or if they treat this person as less than, then that person will completely be submissive to them and they can do whatever they want. Okay, so that's just an example. Now, that in itself might be the actual thing that propels this now adult into doing inner work. And that very mindset might be what that adult is going into inner work or a program to heal. But you see, that person can be carrying around that vibration of abuse with them. And they may not recognize when abuse comes at them using different forms, okay? So that person might come across a healer or a facilitator, a coach, a mentor who has pure intentions and says, I'm going to give you skills and I'm going to help you see your power and you are going to step out into the world and you're no longer going to feel that people can overpower you. You're going to see your self-worth. You're going to hold yourself in high regard. You're going to feel a value, and you are going to go out, and you're going to start creating your life as a powerful person you are. That's one option. Another option is that this person goes and finds a program, and one of the leaders of that program loves to bully people or be powerful. In fact, they create a program so they can feel important because they themselves, maybe they themselves, were bullied or abused, and now they will never be abused, so they will always be more powerful. So they position themselves to be the one that has all the answers, the one that is the most powerful, and in a program where they're teaching people, yep, they're teaching them, you are powerful, you don't have to be abused, you can speak up, you can use your voice. All of that's in place. The skills are there. They're being taught these skills that can really, really turn their life around. But as in many religions or organizations, what happens is that person becomes a go-to. Person is the voice of all-knowing. That person holds the space of you don't really know unless you go through me. And if I say that it's yes, that it's true, then you're right. But always check with me. And this can be done in so many ways. This can be manipulated in so many ways that it is too numerous to even name, honestly. Okay. I'm going to say what's missing in this is, okay, what's missing in that metaphor? I've got a question. Well, that doesn't sound all bad as long as they're not abusive. Well, okay, so what's missing in that training is this. Why is there anybody outside of that individual taking the course to go to? Why is the course not designed to have that person trust themselves? Why is that not part of the training? So that even if they disagree with the leader, they say, I understand what you're saying. I've considered it carefully. It does not apply to me the way that you're teaching it. So this one, I'm going to kindly step back and not engage in that particular aspect of this training. That's it. And you know what? If that trainer is actually there to be of service to the individual, that trainer will honor that individual knows their truth and will not force that person to fit into the box and the mold that the trainer has created that they think everybody should belong in. That's how you know the difference in that. That's the difference I'm talking about. And then there's another scenario. There's this person who is going to find how to stop being abused. This person is going to do a program where they can find their voice and they're okay with their emotions. And they go into an environment where emotional expression is encouraged. In fact, there's processes set up so that person is emoting in extreme levels and they feel relief and they feel like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome that I can scream and yell and not feel guilty or bad or wrong, that I can cry and not feel shame. That is fabulous. Awesome healing takes place in that space. But guess what? Sometimes in those organizations where wonderful, wonderful tools are taught, there's also a twist. Sometimes in those organizations, what happens is, as my mouth catches up to me, what happens is great tools are taught in a controlling environment. The tools are awesome, and you have to do them this way. And you have to line up the chairs this way, and you have to do this. You must do this wrong or right. If you do not do it 100% in alignment with what it is we dictate through a manual or through a script, you are wrong. So this is great. These tools are awesome, and you must do it in a very rigid manner. And you see, when we are doing something in a very rigid manner, there's no room for inspiration. There's no room for you to follow inspired action with somebody you're facilitating. There's no room for you to laugh when you feel sad, because that doesn't fit the mold. That doesn't fit what you're told in the manual or in the course or in the classroom. It's supposed to look like, and it has to look that way or else you're doing it wrong. So that leaves out again that you know for you, that you have that inner knowing that it's available to you, that even when somebody you admire says something, you can actually say no and still admire that person. I appreciate when people don't buy into or play the game that they have to agree with me all the time. Because you know what that gives? Gives an opportunity for a different perspective. Yeah. And then we have another option, more metaphors. See, there's a bazillion metaphors I could actually do with this one example. But then there's that moment that can happen within somebody who has been abused, who has been felt victimized or have been victimized as a child, and they get into the training and they go, oh my gosh, these tools actually help me. I do feel that I have a voice. I do feel that I have power. I do feel that there is some awareness available to me. This is amazing. I am so stunned by what's possible. I've completely changed my life. I have so completely changed my life that now I think everybody in my world ought to change their life. And I'm going to start inflicting the tools that I like to live by on them. So now when I'm accountable for my choices, I'm going to go and I'm going to make people be accountable for their choices, whether they agree to it or not. And now, when I am aware that I am playing on the triangle of drama and I'm in adrenaline and I'm really wanting to be right, now when I see that in somebody else, I'm going to point it out to them, and I'm going to shame them into not doing that anymore. And those tools that change your life become weapons. They become weapons. And those tools that can transform actually turn you into an abuser. They're transforming, all right. It just may be that you saw them not as a way to set yourself free, but instead as a tool you can use to be in power and have the upper hand. This is why, to me, it's important to have this conversation. I invite you, if you're in a space of doing any kind of training at all, that you check in if you have a voice in the training. I have paid a lot of money for somebody to tell me how they do something. And when that something doesn't apply to me and how I do something, they conclude that I am just doing it wrong. Because they're locked in that they're right. They're locked in that their way is the way, that their conclusion is the right conclusion, and it should apply to you. And I'm going to tell you very truthfully, as a psychic myself, I do essence readings. I do soul profile readings where I can see where people are in their essence and what alignment that brings to their life and how that expresses in the highest vibration. I can see that. I can share that with people. I can let them know what blocks and restrictions are in their way. I do that. So I know this space. But I'm telling you that I have received clients who have gone to another reader, who have gone to another person that has psychic abilities, who have been told how wrong they are, or how they've you know, screwed up so horribly in a past life that now they're destined and doomed to this struggle and all these things, that they've been told that they're expected to fulfill a certain dharma or a certain cosmic purpose, that they have to do it, that they're wrong if they don't, that if they don't do their calling, they're wrong. I've heard from these people who say, am I really a failure if I don't go out and be a minister in a third world country? Is that really true? Somebody told me that that's what I came here to this planet to do. And it nothing in me, that doesn't feel true at all. But they said so, and they say they have the knowing. They have the gift to tell me this. They are the prophet. But this doesn't feel true to me. And what that creates in people is so much inner turmoil and self-doubt on a spiritual level that as the work that I do, where I truly want people to be empowered to know their own truth and make their choices and live into them, that confusion that ignites in somebody is so heartbreaking to witness. And yet, what are they to do? You see, they went seeking for some guidance. And instead of a guide that taught them how to listen to themselves, they got a dictator who dictated their life. who dictated what was right or wrong. And because they went in trusting and vulnerable, they bought it. Quite often, actually, since I began my work, there are times that I have almost walked away from my work because it is so excruciating for me to witness people get abused in an environment of healing. It infuriates me. It pisses me off. And there have been times when I felt like I can't fix this. I don't know if I have anything to offer. I don't know if I want to be part of a community where so many people are using what I see as such an awesome healing gift as such a cruel way of abuse. And this happens over and over. And I will be honest, as this has come up in my space recently, I had a bit of a tumble of my own sadness, a tumble of my own frustration, a tumble of my own excruciating, furious, feeling helplessness. Just felt totally helpless about it. There's not a freaking thing I can do about it. I cannot undo what these people of power are doing to people. Not my place. Not my creation. I can't do it. And sometimes it makes me want to walk away. But you know, this time, I didn't walk away. Instead, I decided I'm going to speak about it on this show. So if you are looking for, if you're seeking to change your life, if you're seeking new tools to support your life, be sure that that's actually the intention of the person supporting you. Because if their intention is that you become one of their puppets, don't sell yourself by buying in to their game. It is up to you. You do have a choice. You do have the say-so. There are many skills that I teach to my clients, and some of them will say, well, I tried that, and it didn't seem to have that impact on me. Okay, great. Find what does work for you. And that is truly your job. As the client, it's your job to speak up and say, this really works for me, that doesn't. I mean, I do clearings for clients, and some clients are like, yeah, the clearings don't work. It don't resonate. Or I choose instead to do a clearing, I want to do a prayer. Fantastic. Yay. Instead of doing a prayer, you know, I want to do a ritual. Fantastic. Yay. But you see, you've got to be in an environment where what you know resonates with you is allowed and honored. There are certain people that say, well, I want to listen to my angels. I don't listen to guides. Oh, I don't believe in anything spiritual, so I want practical. I want thought-based support. Fantastic. But make sure that the support you are receiving resonates with what works for you. What's true for you? What lights you up? What inspires you to continue on in your journey of healing? Healing does have sadness in it. Healing does have some anger and fear and sadness and excitement and hope. It has all of it. Doing your healing work isn't all sad. In fact, if your healing work leaves you in despair and sadness, you didn't get to the healing, did you? Because on the other side of healing is actually hope, forward movement, forward thinking, moving beyond. And so where do you stop? Is there more work to do? Or is the healing work you're doing actually limited and keeping you stuck? I I went through some really intensive training that I absolutely love and I appreciate every single moment. And that training was based on processing. A lot of processing, kind of, and if you don't know what that is, it's, you know, being aware of the emotions, being aware of the thoughts, going through and emoting and expressing, getting accountable, and finding the way through so that we don't get stuck in that. And even that turned into over-processing. Anything, everything has an extreme. And sometimes we can get locked in that over-processing everything where we become the editor. We're analyzing everything. We're scrutinizing everything. And it keeps us from the flow, the going with the flow, the easefulness, the gentleness. And that is where I experience a lot of confusion in the world of conscious living. Is that people have been told that there's a right way and a wrong way, and I am here to say, if there's a right way and a wrong way, it isn't conscious living. It's ego-based. There are many possibilities. The possibilities are countless. And if you're not working in a land of possibility so that you can find your individual possibility, you might be doing work that is teaching you structure and have-tos and shoulds. And that is my invitation to you today. Check what you're learning. Check in with the training you're receiving. If there are a lot of structures and the right way and the wrong way and you have to and you should, please understand that is the language of the ego. And the ego is not about that. It's not about you getting into your power. It's not about you being in your essence unless you give it the job of that. If your ego's job, if the training you're receiving is here to tell you you're wrong and you have to do it somebody else's way to be right, that is not the way of the soul. That is not the way of the essence. Your essence wants you to flourish, wants you to bring your uniqueness, wants you to flow the way that you flow. Experience life the way you're designed to experience life. Yes, you can let go of filters and programs. You can even reassign your ego. How do I know? Because I've witnessed it over and over, where the ego actually lets you know when you get out of alignment with your essence instead of being the dictator of what's right and wrong and keeping you rigid. It's time you empower yourself and choose training and choose not to have the tools be weapons, but instead you recognize how powerful the tools are, and they are honored through how you use them for the highest good, not only of you, but of all. And that's my invitation to you today. I'm extremely passionate about this, super tearful today, very tearful today, as I invite you to be an instrument of healing in your own life first. To be of service, to shine the light of hope and possibility. But don't blind others by enforcing it and inflicting it on them. Live it yourself. The ripples go out naturally. You don't have to make them. That's what's on my heart today, and that's why I chose to do this show today, is to talk about this from my heart and invite you to be powerful in what you choose. Powerful in a way that's honorable of all who are involved. Thanks for being with me today. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. To find out more about Sherry's craniosacral and massage therapy practice by checking out her website at www.bodywisehealthcare.com. BodyWise is nourishment for the mind, body, and being. If you're part of an organization that could benefit from my dynamic, engaging public speaker for your next live event, or if you'd like to find out more about her programs offered, Jen can be reached at her website, www.jenhalterman.me.